Welcome to Syncreate, a show where we explore the intersections between creativity, psychology, and spirituality. Our goal is to demystify the creative process and expand the boundaries of what it means to be creative. I'm Melinda Rothaus, and I help individuals and organizations bring their creative dreams and visions to life. My guest today is George McCormick, a British singer-songwriter who performs as Son of Cormac. George and I were introduced by a mutual friend last year and started collaborating musically. You'll hear us playing together later in the episode, with George on guitar and lead vocals and me on bass and backing vocals. His tagline is "an Irish boy with an English voice." With Irish roots, George grew up in English pubs to jukebox lullabies in the 80s and went to a British boarding school. He lived in London for a decade and now lives in Austin, Texas, where he's writing and finally self-publishing his music. BBC Introducing, a popular show in the UK, has picked up some of his songs and has been playing them on the radio. He appeared on the BBC Introducing stage at Lakefest Festival in the grounds of Eastnor Castle in 2022 and has been a guest live on air with BBC Hereford and Worcester. In the conversation, we talked about his songwriting process with a focus on the song Accelerate to a Standstill, which is essentially a metaphor for the climate crisis and our collective inability to respond or take full responsibility for it. We recorded the conversation at Mystic Oaks, my creative studio in the Texas Hill Country.
So, George, really excited to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Yeah. And just to share a little bit more about you with our listeners. So you are Irish, but you grew up in the UK, went to boarding school, lived in London, and now you're living here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I met my wife in London and in an Irish bar, you know, the old-fashioned way.
And
she kidnapped me and brought me here. So here we are. Yeah.
Kidnapped and brought to Texas.
Yeah, a false bill of sales. You brought me in the winter. I thought it was going to be cooler. But,
yeah. Yes.
I bought the ticket by then.
But now we're having the most brutal summer ever.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good to be out in Wembley for the weekend. So.
Yeah. Good. So I want to hear more about your songwriting process, and we're starting to collaborate to write some songs together.
Yeah. It's you've been introduced me to your music friends, and it's been really rewarding. So it's great to have fellow musicians to play with.
Yeah, it's all about collaboration.
It is, yeah. Getting out there, yeah. It really is. It's taken me a long time to figure that out. I've been a bit slow off the mark, but it is for sure. It makes a big difference. Takes the pressure off yourself, and it's fun. Yeah. So
I kind of wanted to start in with a particular song of yours and kind of dive into the song itself and your songwriting process around it. So the song is called Accelerate to a Standstill.
Yep.
And it's kind of about how as a society and as a culture, we seem to be hurtling toward this very problematic place.
So Accelerate to a Standstill, I think I had this image in the back of my head about a car just, you know, driving down a long road, and at the end of the road there's a traffic light and it's red. And in my mind's eye, instead of, you know, tapping the brakes, just floored it. And that feels like, you know, what we're doing as a society. We're kind of just headlong off the end of a cliff. We're going to have a bill to pay at some point, but we're going to abuse the credit card while it's out there. So that's kind of the song, and about not facing up to difficult situations. So it's kind of a mixture of the two.
Yeah, kind of a metaphor for climate change.
Yeah, not facing up to difficult situations, climate change specifically, yeah. So that's where it came from, and I think the music was there, and then it was just kind of just playing the music and then ad-libbing over the top of that. And I think it comes out quite straightforward to start with, and then and it's usually the last 20% that takes me forever to sort out,
you know. Yeah,
the initial creative burst happens, and then really honing it down and giving it some shape.
Definitely.
Yeah,
well, I wanted to share some of the lyrics from the song, and then we can actually hear the song itself. So part of the lyrics goes, she comes around telling everybody what they want to hear. She's been coming around here for years. Her candle's burning bright. It's about to disappear. Let sleeping dogs lie, color between the lines. Don't look her in the eye. She'll eat you alive. We absolve your responsibility. Pity the young. Ignore the old. Accelerate. Accelerate to a standstill. So tell us a little more about how the lyrics kind of came to you.
You know, it's a tough one. She's coming around. It's more of a kind of been told what we want to hear. We've just been like, we're all ignoring the climate thing. I mean, I was taught about climate change when I was eight. So mm-hmm. that's the late 80s.
Yeah.
And here we are in 2023.
Right.
And still umming and ahhing about what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, we've all been kind of burying our heads in the sand. And it's about, it's basically ignoring the obvious, you know.
Yeah.
And just getting on, you know, the easy way. We're all a bit hedonistic and taking it easy. We don't want to make any difficult choices.
Yeah.
And facing up to it, yeah. It's just like, you know, let sleeping dogs lie. Don't look it in the eye. You know, just ignore it. It'll be
maybe
all right.
Maybe it'll go away.
Maybe it'll go away. It'll sort itself out.
Yeah.
Which it's, it won't.
Let's hear the song, Accelerate to a Standstill.
Responsible.
So one of the things I want to ask you about is, you know, you have a line and kind of a tagline, you know, Irish boy, English voice, living in the States. And I'm just curious, like, how these particular identities have shaped you and shaped your creative work.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a, I suppose I got a kind of a mix of a background. I grew up in my family's, my mother's Northern Irish Protestant, father Southern Irish Catholic. So there's this kind of, and then I grew up in England, so I ended up with an English accent. So, you know, when I go home to Ireland, you're always on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, the accent, the family, obviously, you're part of the family, and that's no problem. But the English accent kind of just puts you on the outside instantly.
Yeah.
English-Irish relations are always problematic, to say the least.
Do you feel like that's a tension that lives inside of you in some way?
Not too bad, but I think it's in the back of my head. It's kind of like you don't really, slightly on the outside, because I'm not, obviously, English accent, spent a lot of time in England, went to boarding school in England, but I don't feel English. So I suppose it was easy for me to move to the States as well. You know, I've moved around a lot.
Yeah.
I spent my summers in Ireland, Christmases in Scotland, and kind of moved around a lot. Parents were around pubs. So it was a very diverse background. So I walked in a few walks of life. So I wouldn't be able to tell you how that comes through, but it's an interesting, it's an unusual background, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the boarding school was interesting. Went when I was 7 until 18. It's kind of like maybe Harry Potter, but without the magic.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting one.
So kind of growing up in this confluence of like English pub culture and boarding school, when did you start writing songs and what inspired that?
Well, I think I grew up early on in the pubs. I think, you know, the jukebox was always the background to my life. I probably don't know all the 80s music, but like their names, but I know them subconsciously. Mm-hmm. Like they're just, so I think music was always around. There was live music. I remember seeing a band when I was pretty young and just pretty taken by it. We were surrounded by lots of musicians as well. But my parents aren't musical at all.
And did you have any musical training particularly?
Not really. I think at school I kind of got into singing. It just gave me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
I just followed that really. And then played the guitar for a while. I think it was my French teacher. So did very random lessons. And eventually, yeah, it's just a progression through eventually finding that you have an interest for it, and it becomes just an important part of your life. It's like a port in the storms. It's always been
absolutely
something that I go back to.
So people are always asking me as a songwriter, like, how do you write songs? Like, how do you go about it? You know, do you have a specific way that you start? And like, for me, I'm a bass player, so I'm often coming up with a bass line, but sometimes I just have a lyric that I've written, or like I write a lot of poetry, and so I'll have a lyric idea and I'll start to set it to music, or maybe I'll have a melody and then the rest kind of comes out of that. But it's always a little different. Like there's no one way, and I think it's different for every songwriter. So what's that like for you, like when you sit down to write a song?
I usually start with a nugget of an idea. I think even driving here today, it's usually when my brain's not totally in its own way. And I came up with an idea and I just got the voice memos out and took a voice memo.
Yeah.
That's usually where it starts, and then that nugget gets built on. And sometimes it's a lyric like that, or sometimes it's a riff that I like. And then I might play that riff and then ad lib over the top of that and go from there. I like to do it in the house when nobody's there, so I can make terrible noises.
Yeah.
And there's no pressure for it to be perfect.
Yeah.
I had an art teacher, and he would always try and encourage you to make something ugly. Stop being so obsessed about making something perfect.
Yeah.
It's too much pressure. And if you're okay with making something that you can discard, I think sometimes it has more chance of success.
Yeah.
So I think I invent all these tricks.
Uh-huh.
methods to get unstuck, maybe.
Might
be a way of putting it.
Yeah, so much of it is, I think, about just getting out of our own way, right? Like the writer Anne Lamott talks about writing, just giving yourself permission to write shitty first drafts.
Yeah.
You know, because exactly. Then we get so perfectionistic and we're trying to edit while we're just getting the ideas out. And
I think I started doing some in the morning and the evening is quite good for me. I'm like, maybe mm-hmm. I'm slightly tired. And and then I can be a bit more, there's more free flow to it. I can get out of my own way a little bit. I mean, to be honest with you, most of the time I'm, you know, you'll probably ask me to leave in a second, but it's mostly walking around the dark, trying to find puzzle pieces and sticking it together and just coming up with tricks. So I don't really have any formal classical training. And famous musicians or, you know, people of classical musicians, they're composers. And that, you know, they're composing. I always feel like I'm mostly playing.
Yeah.
So I think recently I've given it more credence and respect, and I'm honing my skills and my craft, I think.
Yeah. That's where it all starts. I mean, the creative process starts with play.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for me, so often it's about just kind of going back to that childlike place, you know, getting out of the linear mind and the to-do list and just allowing yourself to experiment, see what happens.
Yeah. And asking people for help or not trying to do it. I think the recent thing, I've tried to stop doing everything myself and then realized that, you know, you can ask people to do the things that you're not strong at, like figuring out your strengths, working with that. And then, I mean, I could probably change the oil in my car, but I've choose not to.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just like sometimes you need to, especially with recording, it's been great getting an engineer and a stroke producer to take it to the next level, get that extra few extra percent out of it.
So you've been spending a bit of time in the studio, and we were talking the other day. I'm curious, what's it been like for you to work with a producer? Like, you come in with some songs, and what's that collaboration like?
This collaboration is fantastic. It's taken me a long time to get into a studio, and I asked a friend to introduce me to somebody because he was a professional musician, and what I really didn't want was to go into the studio and made to feel like I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
Because I knew that already. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't need somebody else to tell me.
Right.
So I needed somebody to help me get to where I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
Get a good finished product. And I luckily got introduced to a great guy, local man. And he's been working with me and very patient. And it's been a very rewarding, but a new thing to learn unto itself. It's kind of like there's so many aspects of music. There's composing,
mm-hmm.
And then there's the performing. And recording almost seems like another thing.
It's a whole thing unto itself.
It's a whole new skill set. And for me, I'm sure other people are very good at doing all three. But it's best for me. It's been good to get outside help on the recording.
Yeah,
and it's been beneficial. Collaboration is what we were talking about when we started.
Absolutely,
really has made a big difference.
Yeah, and sometimes just having someone tell you, like, no, go do it again.
Yeah.
Like, you can do better. Or why don't you try this?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just bringing a different ear to it.
And I think, songwriters, I think we're notorious for not using a click track and just being free, too free.
Yeah.
We need to be a bit more rigid because you need to play with a band. So it's been educational, a real, real joy to have somebody point out all the things that I'm getting wrong. But it's been great. It's been great. But,
Been
doing well.
So I know that back in the UK, you were featured on BBC Introduce, which is a program that kind of introduces musicians that maybe haven't been discovered yet. And a couple summers ago, you played at a festival over there. Tell us about that.
So I released a few songs and, you put them out into the world and have...
And you never know what's going to happen.
You put it out there and hopefully somebody other than your mother likes it.
Right.
So I got a few playlists, nothing local in Texas. I put it out to the BBC, which is where I lived in the UK. And they picked it up and they played it on the radio, all three songs. Actually, before I even released them, they weren't even on Spotify at that point. And I got a great response. And they were really enthusiastic about all the songs, and they played them regularly. And then they had me on the radio to do an interview, and did some sort of unusual song swap. You meet another local artist and then you trade songs and you have to do a cover of each song.
Oh, wow.
And they were really mean. They gave me a rap artist. That was a super hard. that was difficult, but it turned out great. And they invited me to do the BBC introducing stage at Lakefest Festival in the Midlands. And yeah, we went over and had a great time.
Awesome.
So it was really rewarding.
So speaking of which, we're trying an experiment of writing together, and we share a love of kind of sad songs and minor keys. So we've challenged ourselves. Write something in a major key.
Right. Let's write a major key. Oh my gosh, what are you saying? This is crazy talk. So that has been, it's actually, we're not showing it to anybody at the moment.
Yeah, right. Not ready for prime time just yet.
It's a nugget and it's taken shape, and we may pull it off. I have confidence that we can do this.
And it's fun. It's so much fun to collaborate.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, kind of as a songwriter, as a creative, do you have any advice you would give to someone just starting out, or what's the most important thing you've learned about your own creative process?
I mean, just take your words and put it back to me. It is your own creative process. And I don't think there's one way. Yeah. I think you have to find your way. And I think there's you could steal and borrow other people's, but if it works for you, it doesn't, just discard it and move on. I think sometimes it's easy to get head up about you need to do it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be, I can't, when I write, I don't compose music, and I'm not there with them, writing actual musical notes. But there's method to the madness, and find what works for you, keep challenging yourself. And talk to other musicians. Open mic nights is always a good way to cut your teeth and performing wise. Creative writing, there's lots of ways, and there's lots of information out there. But you really do need to find your own method, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's just one of those things also for me, like the more you do it, the first time I wrote a song, it was kind of like, I don't even know how I did that. It just sort of happened. I had a bass line, and then I started coming up with a melody, and then some lyrics came out of that. And like I said, obviously it's not the same way every time. And maybe, like you said, we start out, we're kind of mimicking someone else's style, but then over time we sort of start to develop our own thing.
But it is a method. I think there is sometimes a magic. And I think probably the magic gets talked about a lot. And there's always this there's always a myth around, rock songs or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of urban legends about things.
Yeah.
And I think, that's great. But I think, like anything, as I get older, I really do believe, hard work, sitting down and actually doing it is a big part of it. It's actually the biggest part of it.
Yeah. You got to put the time in.
Yeah, you got to put the time in. Magical thinking will only get you so far.
Right, exactly.
Learn new skills, chord theory or song structure. Pick something that you feel weak on and delve into it.
Yeah.
There's always something to learn.
I remember some years back, I took a songwriting class with a friend of mine. She was teaching this songwriting method that was totally new to me. It was basically like you just do a bunch of free writing around an idea or an image or something like that. And you don't censor yourself. You just, whatever comes out. And then afterwards, you kind of go back and you circle or highlight, certain words or phrases or just evocative images. And then you start to build a lyric around that, which I just found like a really refreshing
approach. I've used that a few times recently, and it has been really, really helpful. And yeah, that's a great way especially if you... Maybe if you're missing a verse or something, and you need more material, you just pick the topic and then you just free write on that topic or that emotion and see where it takes you. And then you've got material to work with. If you don't have any material, you've got nothing to work with. So you need to, even if it ends up in the bin, that's great.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's the thing I always talk to my like writing clients about. You know, if you're a sculptor, for example, you have a block of marble or whatever it is, you have a raw material. But as writers, whether, you know, novelists or songwriters or whatever it might be, like, we have to create our own raw materials.
Yeah.
And then we can sort of shape them. And
yeah, I feel compelled to do it for whatever mad reason.
Yeah.
And it's very rewarding.
Yeah.
So I think we both feel that way, and we'll just keep going whether anybody likes what we're doing.
Exactly. Well, there's something to be said for doing what you do, doing your creative work for the pure joy of it.
Yeah.
You know, as a means unto itself.
Yeah. Anything else is a lovely benefit.
But, yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Well, it's been a pleasure to come and share my music.
Yeah. So where can people find you online if they want to hear more?
Well, I'm on all the music platforms. So Spotify, Son of Cormac. So it's Cormack at the end. And you can find me on YouTube, Bandcamp, Spotify. I have my own website. Follow those, and I'll try not to inundate you with too much spam.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And we'll share links to all of your sites in the show notes for the show. And looking forward to more collaborations.
Me too.
Songwriting, like many creative pursuits, can be a mysterious process. There's no set formula for writing a song. And each songwriter approaches it in their own unique way. Some start with lyrics, others start with a chord progression or a bass line or a melody. For example, I once came up with a melody and rhythm for a set of lyrics I was working on while walking down the street, based on the rhythm of my walking and the ambient sounds in the environment. One of the things we talked about today is the importance of play in the creative process, along with letting go of perfectionism, which can be paralyzing. As we know, the creative process is not linear, and it's often quite messy. It's important to allow ourselves to play and experiment, make a mess, and see what arises out of that place. But so often, we get stuck in our own perfectionism. So, for our creativity pro tip today, I encourage you to make a mess. Yep, whatever that looks like for you. Get out some paints and smear them around with your fingers. Or do some stream of consciousness free writing to get some words onto the page without judgment. Or take a pottery class. Or just try out a completely new medium you know nothing about, where you don't have to be an expert. Just allow yourself to enjoy the process and the messiness and the not knowingness of it. See what happens. You might be surprised. Let us know what you discover. At SyncCreate, we're here to support your creative endeavors. If you have an idea and you're interested in our help, please reach out to us about one-on-one coaching or join our SyncCreate 6-month coaching group starting in April of 2024. We'll be guiding you through our SyncCreate process to help bring a creative project to life. You can learn more at SyncCreate.org. This episode was produced by Christian Heiges with assistance by Mike Osborne. Follow SyncCreate on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn, where you can also find out more about all we do at SyncCreate. Thanks for listening. We'll leave you today with another song of George's, I Feel Your Shade.
so bright, seed in your eyes. Lake blows the wind up and warms my soul. To the horizon.